Sam Kennedy, never heard of him.
That's also the heavily edited part of that, because remember when we played it the
Brian
first time?
Brian had to take a hatchet to that.
That day. One took me a while.
Because they would interrupt her every word she said.
That, I think, was an initially like a 5 to 6 minute clip that I had to mush down into like 30 seconds, 35 seconds. That took a while.
You did a tremendous job, because had I not known, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
It sounds really good. You did a great job.
Thank you.
I also don't, should I be familiar with the term pitch deck? Is that what she said at the beginning of that?
Someone who's familiar with their pitch deck.
What does that mean?
The group of people who have pitched. I don't know. I have no idea, actually.
Yeah,
I don't know what pitch
to
deck
me.
Means. Hold on. Let me look
it's
it
like
up.
An industry term or something.
Pitch
I don't even know what
deck.
Industry.
A pitch deck is a presentation deck that is used to pitch your idea or company to a number of audience, generally investors. All right. So it's what I thought it was.
Their pitch deck.
Yeah. I don't know what that how that applies here, but whatever. Listen, this is way above my income bracket and tax bracket and all that stuff. I have no idea.
$7 billion? What's the number?
I do not.
$6 billion?
A couple billion short. But yeah, it seems like...
What if we get together?
Okay.
We are the afternoon show.
That's true. Host one plus host two. You combine those two incomes.
Equals ownership.
And, yeah, we'll get our own suite up there and everything. We couldn't even be like the most minority of minority owners with our combined salaries. We probably couldn't even get season tickets with our combined salaries. Regardless, that is neither here nor there. I'm interested in this because Courtney, that was how long ago? Like over a week ago now that she said all that?
I believe that was Friday.
Okay, so it's almost a week ago, and there has not been much follow-up. You know, like I haven't heard any of the local beat writers, any of the business insider, like any of these CNBC people who talk about, you know, big money exchanges and stuff like that. I haven't heard anyone either come out in support of what Courtney was saying or denying it either. So the fact that no one's denying it, I think, is very telling, right? If that was, there would be all sorts of representatives from Wynn Casinos and Bezos and Fenway Sports Group and everybody else being like, no, actually, none of us are really involved. None of us are on the pitch deck or whatever, and we're not really going for this. The fact that none of that happened, and we're almost a full week since that big bombshell there, that tells me that these three are very much in the mix here, and whether you like any of those three guys or not, or any of those three groups or not, and I know that there's certainly one that a lot of people around here aren't super keen on right now, or maybe two you could say that about. Either way, there's going to be new ownership here. The Celtics are not going to be the Wick Grosbeck toy anymore, where he can just throw money at all these players and get whatever he wants and then sell the team off and hope that the next guy ends up keeping that going. Someone else is going to take it over, and that may end up being... I don't know if it's going to be counterproductive, but it's definitely going to be an effect. Whoever it is, I don't think it's just going to keep everything the way it is, no matter who you're talking about.
And whenever they are on the Greg Hill Show, whenever they've asked Sam Kennedy about their interest in the team over the last few weeks, it's radio silence. It's no comment, nothing. It's like not
no
even
comment.
It's a non-answer, which means obviously there's something there.
No is a no, right? If it's no, then you say no.
Yeah, he didn't say no, exactly.
He didn't say no. Yeah.
And usually people like that come out and say no. If it's a definitive
right.
No, so there would seem to be some
we
some
got the
fire.
No on Bezos.
Right. But, that was
know.
Before. And also, it that was in response to Simmons, right? Simmons came out and tossed Bezos' name out there. A representative for Bezos said, no, we're not interested in that. And at this time, Cox comes out with what she just said on Friday, and I haven't heard any rebuttal to that. And maybe he said, I said what I said already. It'd be weird that his name's still in the mix.
Yeah. No,
people are still tossing his name around as a potential bidder.
I think they're in the mix. And I don't think it has anything to do with who said it or where it was said. Or, like, people hear these things. These rich, powerful people know what is said about them. They know what's out there about them. And if they wanted to shoot it down, if it was 100% inaccurate, it would be shot down.
Yeah.
Like, one of my examples would be a few years ago, there was something reported about the Patriots. It was like a fight. I want to say like a fight between Josh McDaniels and Cam Newton. I don't even remember the details.
Okay.
And the Patriots rarely do anything. Like, they issued a statement like flat out saying it never happened.
Okay.
And that's if it's.
I remember something like that with like Aaron Dobson too a long time ago. There was some story and they said, no, it's not true.
When it's definitively wrong, usually people push back in this day and age pretty hard. And whether you want to do it in an official capacity with like a press release or whether you want to leak it to somebody, a story, there's enough people out there, as you said, between business reporters and NBA reporters, there's enough people out there they could leak a story in to shoot it down. Right.
Yeah.
And no one has done that. So I'm just going to assume that the information is right. I'm going to trust Courtney's sources that these three groups are in the mix. Now, You said earlier you think this has been kind of a black cloud over the offseason, that it kind of was a rain on the parade of championship.
A little bit. It got announced right after the parade. You know, like that's sort of, it's the summer of the Celtics, and obviously they all had great summers. But in terms of like the fan reaction to it, I just think that the narrative of this repeating championship team is now not quite as settled as it would be if you knew it was just going to be the Grosbecks coming back and paying everybody and bringing everyone back and not caring about the tax aprons and the luxury tax and all that other stuff. Like, I just think that now there's an unknown sort of twist thrown in here that may not affect the team this year, but certainly we're talking about the long-term future. Both of these guys just got supermax contracts, and you wonder, like, is that going to be affected in any way? I think that's something on people's minds, yeah.
And the dynasty. The dynasty word. Like, yeah. we were all saying for a while that this felt like they could be set up for a dynasty if they could ever get over the hump and win one. They've won the one, and now the dynasty
And they've
been,
locked everybody up.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's kind of been paused because it's like, who's coming in? What are they going to do? There's all these theories that people always have. Anytime any team is for sale, like, oh, they're going to cut payroll and cut costs, and that's how you do it in all business.
If Fenway Sports Group buys the team, you know that's what they're going to do. They do it with all their other teams.
Yeah, I hope not. I would hope not. I don't. That's why. So you said a minute ago, of the three groups, you could say negative things about two of them, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the other negative? Fenway Sports Group's obvious.
Win.
And why?
He had a bit of a rough couple years. I don't know.
Okay, but so you think they would be bad owners. So Bezos is the only positive.
I don't know if he'd be a bad owner or not, but I think there would be, if Wynn coming in here,
does Wynn even own Wynn? I don't even know how that works anymore.
Oh, yeah. Does he own his own name? I'm not sure.
But I don't even know if it's him.
But I know that he got caught up in the Me Too stuff, and you know, that there will be a,
I'm not sure Wynn is Wynn.
I don't know if he is or not.
Look that up.
That's a good question.
I
should probably know that before I go on talking about it. But I still think that is something.
I don't want that guy owning my team.
Well, there's a negative connotation, I think, attached to that. It's not the end of the world, obviously. It's not something along those lines. It's a big corporation and a big company. And their casino's doing okay, I think. I don't know. But, like, it's to me, there could be people who are turned off by that. Just less than Bezos, I would think.
There could be people turned off by anybody. I think in general, the reaction has been Bezos would be the perfect guy. He might be the most likely to continue to spend money, to continue to invest in the team, to want to rah-rah. But I don't.
To not be bothered by taxes and, you know,
But what's his personality?
Stuff.
I don't really know enough about him personally.
I don't know much about him personally either.
Is he a super sports fan, competitor, wants to win kind of guy? Because I know business-wise, he reinvested in Amazon forever, and that was sort of his business model. Don't take profits, reinvest in the company, grow the company, expand the company. That mindset would be great for the Celtics.
Sure.
But is he a keep up with the Joneses, business be damned, screw it, I want to win a title and have duck boats?
I mean, based on the way he conducts his regular business and how he's, you know, Amazon and all that stuff, like, he's all about eliminating the competition, if that's what you're asking.
Well,
he would be in sports, I think, too.
Okay.
I would think. I don't know. I don't know him personally.
That's
what I would guess.
Superficially, as you said, we probably should do a little more research on this before we really delve into it, but superficially, he would be my first choice.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, mine too.
Because he's the big guy with the seemingly the endless funds.
Yeah. FUNBA money is
has
a different
the
thing,
least
yeah.
baggage about him. Now, he does have a lot of interests. Like, that would be one of the questions about the Fenway Sports Group, is they have a lot of interest. Jeff Bezos has a lot of interest, too. I just think Jeff Bezos probably wants to spend some money and make money and win.
Interesting. All right, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Russ is in Connecticut, and I don't know what he's... I'm intrigued by this subject line. Russ, what's up?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
I wanted
to just tell you that target panic is a psychological thing. It affects foul shooting, pitchers. My granddaughter, a national champion in archery, went through that when they moved her from one level to another.
Is this also known as the yips, Russ? Are you talking about the yips?
Yeah, can't shoot.
Yeah.
All right, go on. Now I'm speaking your language. Target panic. I'd never heard that before, but I guess it's an archery term.
A bomb at Target.
No,
I didn't know what you were talking about.
No, it's not an archery term, Christian. It's a fact.
Okay.
It says it's an archery term.
And, you know, if you Google it or look it up or get involved, it affects foul shooting, they say shooting, pitchers even have that issue.
Chuck Knobloch had it. Yeah, I remember.
Rick Ankiel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a real thing. It's called target panic. And I believe that Watching Tatum play, you know, maybe he is avoiding some of that by the type of plays, you know, his play. So
okay. Thanks for the call, Russ. Appreciate
so
it.
Jason Tatum has target panic.
Target panic.
That's not good.
Mm-mm. I'm reading right here. It says target panic is a psychological and perhaps neurological condition experienced by many archers.
Didn't he just say it's not an archery
term?
It's
not an archery thing, but that's, Wikipedia says otherwise. Both competitive and recreational, the condition manifests in various ways, impacting an archer's ability to shoot confidently and accurately. While target panic was originally blamed on high levels of anxiety and fear of failure, it's now understood to be caused by the way in which the brain learns at a neurological level. Citation needed. Whenever you see that in Wikipedia, I always assume it's just some a-hole started editing the thing right on his own. And he's like, I know all about target panic, blah, 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 blah. I'm just going to write whatever. Treatments based on this new paradigm have been very effective at treating target panic in archers at the Olympic level. Citation needed again. There are three primary symptoms of target panic. An archer suffering from target panic may experience a premature anchor, been there, where the bow appears to be very heavy and is difficult for the shooter to come to a full anchor position. A second symptom is referred to as premature hold, again, been there, where an archer locks up or hits a wall that they are unable to move past as they try and align their arrow with the target. The third symptom,
stop it,
is referred to as premature release. You've been there?
I've definitely been there.
I'm reading the Wikipedia page,
you know
guys.
Who wasn't there? Shannon Sharp.
It's true. Shannon Sharp has never had target panic.
He's never
panic,
had target panic, certainly not on Instagram Live.
My word. I mean, this sting over here. Characterized by the inability to come to full anchor without releasing the arrow. Now, I mean, listen.
Didn't he just say this wasn't an archery term?
It's 100% a very specific
archery. It's all about targets
term
and bows
and premature
archery
release.
They really missed an opportunity by not calling it aim anxiety. That's much
aim
better.
Anxiety?
Yeah, that's much better alliteration right
it's
there.
It's a little bit better, I agree. And,
Channel 7 would have definitely done that.
Aim anxiety
up next at 6.
Yes. And there's always, you know, just the yips, which is what this actually is. 617.
Wait, are we sure he has it?
7937 that he has target panic?
Or
I'm
is
not,
he just
I'm
in
not
a
sure
slump
about that. I think he's in a shooting slump. That
for
happens.
An extended shooting slump.
Somebody should just ask him if he has premature release without any context.
Terp. Terp's our Celtics reporter.
He's
Terp,
our
we got a question
ground
for you.
We'll get Terp on the Terp on the scene.
Jason over here at WEEI, Justin Turpin. Have you been experiencing premature release lately?
Yep, no context. Just, yep.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye.
See ya. I'll see myself
that's
out
the end of that. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll revisit something Tommy Kern was talking about, and we'll see if some of this Robert Kraft story from Don Van Natta passes the sniff test. That's coming up next.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Time Out Market. The Boston Red Sox earned a series win over the Baltimore Orioles last night with a win in extra innings. Tyler O'Neill walked it off for the Sox. The three-run home run to give the Red Sox a 5-3 victory. And despite the win, the Red Sox still remain four games out. The third and final AL wild card spot. Tonight, the Red Sox head to the Bronx to take on the Yankees in a four-game series, and we will have the call for the game for you right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. First pitch is tonight at 7:15. Cooper Criswell will be on the bump for the Sox. Nestor Cortez, he will take the hill for the Yankees. Our coverage starts at 6:15 with the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with Joe Weil. Patriots were back at practice today ahead of their Week 2 matchup against the Seattle Seahawks. Patriots lineman Sidy Soh, who missed Sunday's win over the Bengals, he did not participate in practice today. NFL Week 2 kicks off tonight with a battle in the AFC East as the Buffalo Bills head to Miami to take on the Dolphins. You can listen to the game on WEEI AM 850. Westwood One's coverage of that game will begin at 7:30. And Deshaun Watson's latest sexual assault accuser has pertinent video to share with the NFL. I'm Brian Frisoco, and I will get you caught up on trending again in an hour.
It was pretty long. Tommy is known for the pregnant pauses. You want to jump in and ask a follow-up, but you're not sure if it's going to be if he's going to start up again, and then you look like a jerk, and then you step on him, and it's like whatever. But yeah, those are very, very, those are like 9-month pregnant pauses.
But I feel like it's a radio thing because I've done plenty of TV with him, and I don't feel like he does it on TV.
Mm.
It's a longer form, a different medium, so he feels like he can do it. And
yeah,
pause
maybe.
And
I don't know. His podcast, he doesn't do it as much like that either. I
only notice it in these.
Yeah. It's when he's the guest.
Right.
Right?
And why is he bitching about the questions? You're the expert. You know everything. We should be able to throw anything at you and you'll have a response.
I thought our questions were all very good questions. I don't listen. I mean, he can disagree, but I thought both of us had sterling questions there.
And he had good answers. I don't necessarily agree with the so the point spread thing. Shouldn't the Patriots, what's more valuable in the mindset or more pertinent, relevant in the mindset of a gambler and as a whole, like the big country? Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the smart gamblers. I'm talking about Joe average everybody.
Yep.
So the Patriots were expected to not be very good.
Right.
Or they went to Cincinnati and upset the Bengals, the biggest upset of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Which carries more value? Because I would have thought immediately people would want to bet on the Patriots. And now you're laying three.
Or at
and
least
a half.
The sharp money would be on the Patriots, right? Like, yeah, you'd see that, well, okay, this is what everyone thinks, but what actually they are is this.
So I don't think you need
people
to
don't believe yet.
I don't think you need to entice them with more points. I think it's disrespectful to them. I think it's counterintuitive. I don't buy it. I don't think it works gambling wise, and I don't think it works on field wise, and yet you continue to tell me that the shops are all over the freaking Seahawks.
70% is what it is right now. And listen, that's just the money. It doesn't mean that more bets are on the Seahawks.
Were they listening?
There may be more bets on the Patriots.
They're going to have to get up at 5 a.m. their time.
Yeah.
And be at the stadium 7 a.m. and whatever else. All the numbers.
I don't know why they don't get there like 2 days before. I was, you know, if you're going that far across the country, just show up earlier.
Well, they might. Sometimes they do.
Yeah.
I mean, the Patriots have often done that in the past.
Yeah.
But I don't know exactly. But that's his point, that they're going to be uncomfortable across the country, that whole thing. There's a lot of reasons to believe this game could be close.
Yeah.
That's all I would say. I'm not saying
3.5 is a close spread, too. I mean, if it's a 3-point game,
the half is big.
Yeah, it's a big one.
The half is big. For gambling purposes, I would have thought this would have been.
I got screwed by the hook twice on week one.
I probably would have said this is something like a 1.5 to 2.5 point game. I know Tommy said you could maybe even argue for a pick 'em at home. I would have probably favored Seattle. Because as you mentioned yesterday, the perception is they were a better team coming into the season.
Mm-hmm.
That still matters. You know, we're only 1 week in. You don't want to be overreactionary. Oh, the Patriots are way better than we thought. Whatever. But 3.5 to me. Disrespect. I'd be playing that card all day long. Because they've embraced gambling. They're all gambling. They just can't do it at Gillette.
Right.
They got to wait till they get somewhere up
on the
one.
NFL, right? They can't bet on football, can they?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, they can bet on other sports.
No, I'm not advocating for them to bet on themselves.
I would hope they don't.
Now,
whether
if you
advocate
got a brother,
for it or not.
Or if you got an uncle, or you got a cousin that maybe wants to place a little something-something, and maybe you give him money for that something-something. I'm just saying, you could do it if you wanted to.
Yeah, or your translator, you know? If you're
speak
another language, yeah, and your translator wants to make hundreds of thousands of dollars of bets on your behalf, yeah, that's something.
Wasn't it millions? I think it was millions.
Yes, it was hundreds of thousands of bets.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars.
In millions of dollars.
Yes. He was betting like every 10 minutes.
When was the last time you heard about that?
I haven't heard anything about it since I think there was the case got closed, and that's it.
Yeah.
I think he's doing either time or he's got something going
something
on
shady.
There. But yeah.
Like that whole thing.
And Otani's just hitting homers and stealing bases.
Yeah. That was a little like Deflategate. Like they smashed the tapes, they got rid of everything, and they're like, we're moving on. What are you talking about? No.
Yeah, no.
Everything's been adjudicated.
Everything's cool.
Mizuhara is scheduled for sentencing October 25th.
Okay. Well, then, I mean, listen, hasn't been a big circus around that for sure.
All people care about is the fact that he's got, well, depending on who you ask, Rich Keefe apparently got the numbers wrong, but he's got like 47 home runs and 48 steals or whatever the hell the numbers are right now. He's going to have 50-50.
Yeah, which is cool. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go down to Rhode Island, talk to our good buddy Paul, who has a thought on the Patriots. Hi, Paul.
My man. Hi, you. Hey, thank you. Andy.
Yes.
Andy, are you disturbed against Seattle? Don't be disturbed. Trust me. Don't be disturbed.
Don't be disturbed?
Don't be disturbed against a 24-17, 24-something. But I do say
who?
This.
What? Who? Wait, you gave a score. I need
yeah,
who?
who's winning the game?
Oh, my God. Really? You're playing an opener?
Paul, you are not.
43,000 people.
Don't scoff at me. It's hard to follow what you're saying right now. What are you? Don't be disturbed by what?
I'm taking the Patriots.
Okay. 40,
I'm taking the Patriots at home.
Okay.
24-17.
Okay.
But I do think that our kicker is going to miss his first field goal. But I'm going to say this to you, that
ooh.
I think Geno's going to have two interceptions against us. Yeah, I think so. And you know what? It may help Mayo, may help Jacoby, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take the Patriots and the money line.
All right, thanks for the call, Paul.
He just called to give us his picks?
To tell us his picks.
I mean,
Geno Smith, two interceptions. It's probably a pretty juicy one there. Can you get that? Can you get numbers on interceptions?
I'm sure you can.
On, like, quarterbacks throwing interceptions? If you can, I don't know. I mean, yeah, Geno Smith, sure, he could throw a few. Jacoby Brissett could throw a few.
I feel like that was a Friday call.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's Thursday night football.
Thursday. You might want to wait. You got Thursday night football, and then who knows? There could be like a freak practice injury or something that could change the way you think about the game. Last week, we had the breaking news that City So wasn't going to play.
That's right.
That changed everybody's thoughts about everything heading into
that
game.
People were pulling over on the Mass Pike saying, oh, my God, did he just say City So is going to be out?
Yeah.
And, yeah,
crazy.
I mean, listen, I was just trying to do the public service. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Robert Kraft trying desperately to get into the Hall of Fame. We heard a little bit from Tommy Kern about it today. We heard from him yesterday on TV. And breaking down this article, we decided to give it the old sniff test.
No. I think it stinks.
It's the sniff test with Arcand and Hart.
That's right, it stinks!
On WEEI.
All right, Andy Hart, what about this crap story? Any piece of it from Don Van Natta to what Curran had to say today and yesterday, what about this doesn't or does pass the sniff test?
So let's start with Tommy Curran's view, that this is a little bit of Patriot pushback, I guess, is the way he positioned it. Because I agree with him. When they started to win, they acted like they won like no one else had ever done. They invented the game. Their poop didn't stink. Like all those various attributes. Agreed. So therefore, this will be held against players, correct? But they've had players go in.
They have.
Richard Seymour went in.
Yep.
Ty Law went in. And I'm pretty sure, I can't project the future. I feel pretty sure Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are going to skate right into Canton.
I think Tom Brady certainly will. I think Belichick certainly will, too. If there is one or the other that I think might have a tougher time or maybe a rockier road right into Canton, I would say Belichick over Brady, but I think they're both still very much going in right away.
I think both will go in the second that they are felt to be legitimately retired and meet the criteria. I think Bill this year, the one-year thing, they just changed the rule to 1 year for coaches, and everybody seems to think he wants to coach again, and I don't think they want to put Bill in. And then he coaches again, and then there's just a weirdness to
he's
it.
He's an active Hall of Famer.
I think that's the only gray area there. Otherwise, I think both those. So I don't think it passes the sniff test to say this is just Patriot pushback or Patriot hate. The hell was that?
It was a sniff.
That was an aggressive sniff. That's somebody doing coke.
Yeah, it sounds like Patrick.
That's a sniff in the beginning of the sniff test imaging there.
Patrick Chung up in Laconia.
I didn't notice that. That is aggressive. That is Michael Irvin on a stripper's bum. That is
the Michael Irvin hot tub party right there.
There is a lot going on there. So
I can abandon it if you want. I was trying to do just fun radio hijinks.
No, I kind of like it.
Listen, yeah.
But it sounds
stiff test.
It almost sounds more like a burst of air rather than a sniff. It's like a
power washer.
Yeah, like
yeah,
psst,
right.
Psst,
or like when you're filling up your tires.
Yeah, that thing.
And you pull the thing out. It's like psst,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's sounds like a little bit. Yeah.
So that doesn't pass the sniff test. Let's check something that I think passes the sniff test. This story opened and laid its foundation on the idea that Robert Kraft checks every box. He's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
That absolutely passes the sniff test. I think even the people that are voting against him, if you could get them in, if you could corner them as Stacey James so often does,
right,
and get them to talk truthfully, that they would say, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. We're going to F with him or we're doing whatever. So that passes the sniff test. The latest report from Tommy Curran, we didn't really get into this, but he got into it. I don't know if he wrote it or he said
this was on the Patriots Talk podcast.
Podcast.
Yes.
That Robert doesn't really care. That
right. He's it's all
kind
about
of,
the kids and Stacey James and everybody else is more. The surrogates care more about it than he does. Can we get the test there? I think that's a...
Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Roll the sniffs.
It's enough of that. All right.
There's no chance in hell that passes the sniff test.
That was going to be mine. Yeah, that one doesn't pass my sniff test either.
Oh, my God.
Come on. The exact quote is, when I've talked to people post-Hall of Fame, whether it's Stacey, whether it's the Kraft's kids or team president Jonathan Kraft, those people are more crestfallen than they say Robert is. Robert, when I've asked how's Kraft doing with this, he's actually all right with it. He doesn't expect to get in now, so he doesn't have his hopes up. He's had his hopes up too many times. He's certainly not ambivalent, but he's had the football pulled away from him few times too many to get too bent out of shape about it. I think the more times the football gets pulled away, the more bent out of shape he gets. And rightfully so, by the way. You should be getting more bent out of shape about this stuff. This is ridiculous at this point. It's a ridiculous thing and a ridiculous omission to keep him out. But this may be a better strategy than what he was doing before.
Oh, I don't care.
Listen, you know what? You guys, you do whatever you're going to do. I'm not going to fight you anymore. I'm not going to be sending Stacy to corner you guys anymore. I'm not going to send you any more books, any more DVDs, any more, you know, big packets with arrows and pictures and all that about why I deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, I'm over it. All right? You guys do what you're going to do. I'm just going to fade into the background. I don't care anymore. That's probably going to be a more effective strategy in terms of the way these people vote than what he was doing previously.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But he still cares.
Definitely.
You don't shut off the care.
This, I think, is an example of him caring, putting it out like this, being like, I don't even care anymore. That's a tactic. That's a tactic that shows you care.
Like, first of all, everybody should care.
Right.
Right. Do you want to be in the Hall of Fame?
Everybody wants to be in the Hall of Fame.
Like, why?
And there's nothing wrong with that either. Yeah.
No. It's like the greatest honor he can have in that world that he has chosen. He's been a fan. He's been an owner. That world of football that he has chosen to invest the bulk of his adult life into, there is no higher honor, correct? It's a bust in a room that will be there forever. John Madden thinks they talk to each other. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this whole, you know, aura of being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The jacket, although, can you wear the pink tie, the blue shirt, and the gold jacket? Will that clash?
Yes.
And don't look at me right now if you're on Twitch, because I may clash. Because I have orange sneakers, green shorts, red shirt, and orange hat. I don't know if that all goes together.
I don't know if I call that a hat either. I mean,
well, visor. Oh, speaking of which,
visor.
Twitchers, I know you guys care about this, so I'll direct this right at them.
Go ahead.
They seem to care about my visors. There's a lot of little chats break out. I'm visor guy, visor guys, visor this, visor that. Ordered two new visors that are on their way.
Oh, boy.
One of which
ties
into the thing we talked about in Grab Bag. Boise State. It's a sweet blue with orange like trim, and it just has
the horse
head on it. It is a sweet visor. So, Twitchers, look forward to that next week.
Okay, new visor for Coach Hart over here.
Also got an Oregon one that's green. I like that one too.
Okay,
I hope they fit. That's the problem.
It's a visor. You can adjust it. What do you mean, though?
You're so young and so ignorant.
You can't adjust the visor.
You can, but sometimes it doesn't adjust enough.
Oh.
If the Velcro doesn't reach, you can't make it reach.
How big is your head?
Shut up.
Or how small is your head?
Shut up. No, it's big.
It's too big?
Oh, it's too big.
All right. Because I'm on, like, when I wear a snapback, I'm on, like, the last three buttons, you know?
Oh.
Sometimes the last two.
I'm on the last one, and it does that weird angled stretch on my top.
You can't wear them. Yeah, that looks
sometimes
ridiculous.
If it's a great hat, I'll tape it. I'll put it and then put, like, black tape, electrical tape on it to try to make it work. But that's why I can't wear hats.
I want to see Andy's workshop where he does these tape jobs.
That's why I can't wear hats.
It's a little hat factory. He's got, like,
I have all these visors that I've bought over the years that don't fit.
How many visors do you own currently?
Oh, okay. I asked you that one time too. I think you've said over 24, right?
Yeah, it's definitely more than two dozen. Definitely.
Huh.
Now, some of them are like old and ratty and I've, you know, sweat through them or too many days on the boat.
Like this one you're wearing right now?
This one's one of the rattier ones, but I really like this one. That's why I can't give it up.
Clemson?
Well, it's more just the orange and the fit and the whole thing.
Yeah. You're more about the aesthetics of it than the actual team that it represents. You don't care about Boise State. You like the colors, is what you're saying.
Yeah. No. I look for a good visor. What's that weird shot? Where's that coming from?
I don't know. Good question.
That's not my best
Maybe
side.
Maybe that one zoomed in?
No.
Or that one zoomed in?
I think it's that one.
Yeah, I think it's that one, too.
It's not my best side, though.
That's all right.
Oh, no, it's that one.
I don't know what it is.
Sniff test. Back to the sniff test.
Yes, back to the sniff test. Kraft certainly cares. He definitely cares.
Should he care?
He cares about this like you care about visors.
I think he cares slightly more. Now, my last one. The sniff test of does this help his candidacy? I heard, because we talked about it yesterday, whether intentionally or not, this is a shift in an approach.
Mm-hmm.
Could this have been leaked by the Patriots? This was all brought up by Jones and Keefe, and they pretended it was their own idea, like they weren't listening to our show yesterday. They pretended like they didn't hear
pretended
us talk about
like they
about
didn't
it.
Hear WEEI Afternoon Show with Host
Damn
1
right.
and Host 2. Come on.
Damn right.
Who's not listening to this? By the way, I heard on the morning show the little sounder they play for us. Do you have that, Jackson? Do you have the afternoon thing? Because I enjoyed that. People have been telling me about it, and I kept missing it. This is what, whenever they refer to our show, they play this.
Oh, I like it.
I think we should really lean into that. I mean, come on. That's first
us.
Of all, it's got all the like the 80s, you know, radio jingle factory the markings all over it. I think we've got something there.
in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
why
yeah.
colleges that I've never attended? Because there's not a lot of Tufts Jumbos visors out there.
Are there not? I wouldn't know.
Well, I mean,
I'm not the internet.
They're not like a big-time sports program. There might be one in the Tufts bookstore, and if it doesn't fit or it's ugly, if they had a...
You got to get the special, like, giant head version.
I will say, if anybody at Tufts is listening, if there were a baby blue Tufts visor with just the jumbo elephant logo on the front, take my money. You could charge me $100. I'll buy it tomorrow.
Well, you know, the bookstore is not too far from here.
No, I know, but they don't have them. I've looked.
Check. Okay, well...
And sometimes the
colleges, if it's not there, you got to go on Fanatics. And if it's not on Fanatics, then it doesn't exist.
I don't think the Tufts Jumbos are on Fanatics.
I think they are. I think everything's on Fanatics. I think every school is on Fanatics, right? They have all the NCAA rights, I think.
You may have just blown his mind. He immediately started.
He's like, oh, my God. Well, we'll double check on that and get back to you.
Wrong.
Anyway, there's the sniff test for you here on a Thursday on WEEI Afternoons. Host one and host two. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, we'll talk a little Bruins. That's right. We'll talk a little Bruins because the preseason starts in 10 days and they still don't have their goalie locked down. So we'll get to that next.
In the afternoon.
The Six Rings postgame show. The Pats are moving on from Cincinnati after a huge Week 1 upset in the Queen City. Now, Coach Mayo and company return to Foxborough for their home opener against the upstart Seahawks. Will Ramondre and Jacoby keep scrambling? Can the Pats take the Hawks to the hill? Or will Pats fans be sleepless thanks to Seattle? Whether we celebrate or commiserate, we do it together. The Six Rings Postgame Show with Fitzy and Hart, live after Hawks and Pats on EEI.
The Six Rings Postgame Show with Fitzy and Hart, every Sunday after the game on WEEI. Now, more of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
If you were to ask me that same question a year ago, I would answer it truthfully and I would say it's scary. It's a lot of resentment towards people that want you to succeed. It's a nerve-wracking feeling because it's your family you're fighting for. And the answer I'm going to give you this year is that I've educated myself and that I understand the business side of it all. And it's given me a complete new mindset of understanding the business and how to react to it.
It's Jeremy Swayman on the Shut Up Mark podcast with, I forget his last name, Mark, whatever, that guy Mark, who gets the best guests and gets them to open up and talk. That, I believe, was over at the arcade bar in over by Ruth's Chris in the old State House. I forget what it's called, but that's where they shot that, and that's where they had it. And that's where Jeremy Swayman got very honest about his contract and about why he's sort of holding out for more money and why, if you look at what he's asking for, it's certainly not resetting the market or even really breaking the bank. The only real problem, I think, that's going to pop up here is that the Bruins only have a finite amount of cap space, and it's the NHL where it's harder to, you know, manipulate it and do things like you do in the NFL with front-loading contracts and all that other stuff. It's very straightforward in the NHL. Guys make what they make, and that's that. And I think that, in general, you know, Swayman knows that. I think Sweeney certainly knows that. There's been a thing with Swayman all along here, I think, that goes to their negotiations, the way he's been treated in the roster and when he's been put into games and sort of things like that. I don't think that Swayman really has anything else to prove at this point. I think that he silenced most of, if not all, the doubters in the playoff run last year. And to me, he should be being paid like a top 10 goalie or maybe even a top 5 goalie in the NHL. At the very least, that's what you do right now. And then as time passes and other goalies get bigger contracts, it's not going to be top 5 or top 10 or whatever it was when he ended up signing it. But you make that investment for the future, and you make that investment because you believe in the player. It's starting to seem like, despite the fact that they traded Ullmark away, that the Bruins aren't 100% sold on believing in this player, which I think at this point is an almost impossible position to maintain.
So... You made your bed. Now you need to lie in it.
Right.
But now it's like, well, we didn't really make the bed. Like the sheets kind of blew away, and now it's just a mattress. And no, I don't really understand what they're doing. Except, is there a you brought up the salary cap, and it's eight point something.
They have $9.35 million in cap space.
So that's it. That's the most he can ask for. Like, right? I mean, he's Mr. Business. He knows numbers. He knows how the cap works. That's the most he can ask for. Well, not the most he can ask for. It's the most that they can give.
That they can give him is 8.63, yeah. That's what I'm looking at here on puckpedia.com. What number did you just have?
I have 9.35 Bruins cap space.
From BruinsCapSpace.com?
Yeah.
All right, well, it's right around there. So, I mean, either way.
Either way,
yeah.
That's the number.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you expect them as the goaltender, the superstar, to just, figure it out. Find a way to get cap space. Trade somebody away. Do something, right? And
if he's asking for $8 million, either way, they can do that.
Well,
and
Rich Keefe has reported that he's asking for 10.
That he's asking for 10. And we also got reports from Spit and Chicklets that they were offering 6. So, right, if one's offering 10 and the other's offering 6, then you meet in the middle around 8, 8.5, maybe if you want to make them happy, and you just get it done. And the fact that it's 10 days away from the preseason here and they still haven't gotten anything done, it doesn't seem like – I keep seeing reports about how close they are. It's close to the season starting, okay?
Yes.
So let's either get it done or not, but what the hell, man?
So I just think it's them saying he's going to cave, right? Like
cave and take 6?
No, cave okay. And take what we have. What you just said, 10, 6, 8, let's meet in the middle. It's a number we can afford.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not shaking up our roster to sign you. And he wants to be here. Like, does he want to not play hockey? Does he want to go down some weird road? I don't even know how it works in hockey. Do they have hold-ins or hold-outs there?
I don't know what they have. I'm not sure. I think probably hold-ins, I would guess, but
yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
So,
hold-outs.
That's not bad, Jackson. Well played. Well played.
Hey, this guy.
He came in strong there.
That was great.
Last hour, he was coming out. But I think they're just playing deadline spur action. He's Mr. Businessman. He knows how it works. He's not like this crazy off the wall. He realizes whether it's your number or Brian's number, he probably knows the number better than we do. Probably has the exact figure. His agent has the exact figure. And that's the most they can offer.
Yeah.
And the Bruins are probably like, he's not going to really go down that road over a few $100,000, whatever, $1 million. If we can offer him 8 point change or 9 million. Plus, you know how I feel. I think he's shooting his shot above the rim. Like he's putting himself.
You don't think he deserves any of this?
No, I think he deserves to be well paid. I think $8.5 million or $8.3 million or $8 million is well paid.
8.5 would be tied for fourth among goalies,
right.
But all four of those goalies in the top four have all won Vezinas.
No, that's my point. Let me know when he's been a franchise goalie. Never. Let me know when he's won the Stanley Cup. Oh, that'd be never. Like he wants to put himself on a pedestal in a baseball-like fashion. I keep going back to this. In baseball, the Papelbon approach works. Well, I'm the next guy, so I make the most. Or I'm the quarterback. Who was the last quarterback? Dak Prescott. Is he the best quarterback in football? Absolutely not.
No, he's not. But then
best
when
quarterback
everybody else
never
gets their contracts,
the
and all of a sudden you're not paid the most anymore. That's the way it works.
In football. It doesn't work that way
too,
as much in hockey. Because in hockey,
the cap's going up
there
year.
Is, what's it? How much is it going up?
I don't know. Enough that other guys are going to get paid more, I would
correct,
think.
Correct. But it'll still be the best players. It isn't basketball where just because money's available, well, we got to give it to him. Money's available. Hockey, because you regret it. Because you just said it. It's harder to manipulate. It's harder to get yourself out of trouble if you get yourself in trouble. So if you spend elite money on a player, he sure as heck better be an elite player. And to make him the highest paid goalie, is he the highest paid goalie in the history of the game? Is he the greatest goalie walking
on the
planet?
He's not going to be. You just said 8.5 would be in the top five.
I'm talking about
the 10
that he wants.
Well, fine. Yeah, he's not going to get that. That's how you negotiate.
But that's what he's asking for.
I know that. But it's if they can't meet in the middle.
What about, I owe it to future goalies everywhere.
I agree with that.
Yeah, $8 million will put you in the top five. We'll continue to grow salaries.
$8 million will put him 6. Ilya Sorokin makes
8.25.
So not even top
which
five.
Which one of you had the 8 number? 8.6 or 8.3 or
8.6 is what I'm seeing here on cap.
So let's say $8.5 million, Brian. Where's that put him?
That would be tied for fourth with Hellebuck.
Okay, so a goalie who's never proven anything being a top five paid goalie elevates the market, in my opinion.
Totally. All four of those guys have won Vezinas ahead
of
them, though.
So you've elevated the market. Now, you just need to be a run-of-the-mill good goalie to get into the top four contracts in goalie. You've lifted the market. You've done your job as a member of the PA. You've done your job as a young player. You can sleep well at night with your $8.5 million contract. You don't need 10. You don't need to
break the bank. I think Jeremy Swayman proved he's better than just a run-of-the-mill goalie.
No, I don't think he's run-of-the-mill. He's good. Run-of-the-mill good goalie.
I thought you were just saying he's run-of-the-mill.
Good. I said run-of-the-mill good goalie.
Okay.
Run-of-the-mill good goalie.
Fine.
He's like Trevor Lawrence. Is Trevor Lawrence worth whatever the hell he got? Nope.
No,
he's a run-of-the-mill good quarterback.
The market is what it is, and eventually that Trevor Lawrence contract's not going to be as ridiculous anymore. That's the way it works. That's the way things go.
Or,
especially in the NHL with the cap going up.
Or
that all is true.
Or people say, wait, you're giving Swayman that? I'm better than him. I want a new contract.
Who on the Bruins is going to say they're a better goalie than Jeremy Swayman?
No, not on the Bruins. He's taken a league-wide perspective to this, that he owes it to the game of hockey mm-hmm. and the economics of all players to do something.
Okay.
I find it a little strange, quite honestly.
I don't.
It's
find a good union member.
Yeah, better union member than goalie, maybe.
Maybe. We'll see. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's take a call here before the break. Billy is in Acton and wants to say something about Robert Kraft. Go ahead, Billy.
Does anybody know the true Robert Kraft, who has destroyed companies, put people out of work? Just all the problems he's caused with every place he's ever been. How come that never gets mentioned about him?
I'm not really sure what he was referring to.
I'm not either. I generally assume every billionaire has those
in his wake,
skeletons
yeah, right?
in
yeah,
his closet.
Kind of
when you start companies, when you run companies, when you buy companies, when you acquire companies, like, do I think there are people that probably don't like Robert Kraft because of business reasons over the years, whether it's the paper industry or the box industry or the various? I mean, what did he say at his press conference? Don't they have holdings in like 200 different countries or something?
I think so, yeah.
He said that big number.
That storage company.
Yeah.
Right?
So when you have that many you're going to have people that don't like you. Like, I assume you don't think Jerry Jones has
Do you think that's keeping him out of the Hall of Fame? He had businesses that failed before he bought the team? Of course not.
I don't think one voter has any idea.
No one even knows about that. Yeah.
Any idea.
Yeah.
And the business that's relevant to this, he bought for $175 million when people said it was stupid. It was the highest price ever, and is now worth $7.95 billion and is one of the most valuable franchises in the history of the sports world. And I'm just going to put that in perspective, in Foxborough, Massachusetts. I always find that remarkable.
Yeah.
It's one of the most valuable sports franchises in the history of the world in Foxborough, Massachusetts.
That's right. Do you know what Robert Kraft's first team that he owned was? It wasn't the Patriots.
The Lobsters.
The Boston Lobsters.
Tennis, right?
A world team tennis team that spent heavily to lure Martina Navratilova. The Lobsters became one of the best teams in WTT, and then following the 1978 season, Kraft announced the franchise would fold. The league itself folded soon after. I was not aware that there was a world team tennis league. I didn't even know that existed.
I've heard that story. Maybe in his bio.
Before my time, I guess. But yeah, there you go. And then he decided, you know what? Tennis was good to me, but I'm going to try my hand in football now and see how that goes.
Yeah, he had various. I think he might have had, definitely soccer, obviously, he's been in. I think there's a couple other along the way that he was involved in. So he's a businessman.
He
sees opportunities. He makes money. He wanted to be into that world. He's owned teams longer than I've been alive.
Yeah, 74. I mean, that's longer than I've been alive. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, the Boston Red Sox in action tonight, kicking off a series with the New York Knicks down in the Bronx, has a potential to be either very exciting or one of those series that just puts you in the ground. One way or another, we'll talk about it next.